This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
It's DCR.
Frank Isola. Good morning. How you doing?
Gentlemen, what's up? How's everybody doing?
We're good. Last time you joined us, I had one of the worst phrases in the history of radio. Early risers will get work. And that was all your fault. You sent me down that road. So I'm on my game today.
This is DCR.
All right, I'm not going to play this I'm looking for just the easy way. I'm going to try to get some of the obscure top 10 ones off the bat. I'm going to say Joe Montana.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Just get ready for work.
All right, let's see how it is. Everyone's against me. Bringing back audio from yesterday to incorporate it there with the Isola sound. DCR with you, 7 o'clock hour, 98.7 ESPN. DCR on 98.7 ESPN. Is presented by Progressive Insurance. I hate when you do this.
I'm gonna try to knock off some of the obscure ones on the list. I'm gonna go with Joe Montana.
I didn't think Joe Montana because it was an older quarterback. I didn't think it was as you know top of the mind as some of the other guys.
What do you mean top of the mind? Who was the argument of greatest of all time was Tom Brady and Joe Montana.
Joe Montana, yeah.
That's like doing that'd be like Canty doing a list tomorrow of greatest golfers of all time and me picking going, okay, you know, Jack Nicklaus was number one and you going, I'm going to bang off one of the obscure golfers. Yeah, give me Tiger Woods.
No. No, it's not that obvious.
It is that obvious.
Santy,
it is
give me that a favor. Obvious. Play me the open from Thursday again if you would, the entire thing, not just like a piece of it.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
All right, I'm not going to play this I'm looking for just the easy way. I'm going to try to get some of the obscure top 10 ones off the bat. I'm going to say Joe Montana. At least it didn't sound like I was talking another language. Like if I went to a foreign country, if I went to a foreign country and I was trying to order lunch, I would probably sound similar to what you sounded like opening the show last.
Listen, at that moment, I'm not. I don't know how I didn't like revert to like Latin or something, like a different language. I was so flustered.
You were so flustered.
Bringing in a dead language,
talking in 3-word bursts.
I almost went Hilaria Baldwin on you. This is the Wednesday. How you say the Wednesday?
My God. This is so good.
How do you say the cucumber?
Mike Tenenbaum, 7:30 in the greatest audio in the history of the station, 7:15. I think it's that good. RJ, when we get to this, you heard it. I said, get this sound. You heard it at 4:30 this morning, and you were hysterical, yes?
I did, but now I wonder if we're venturing too far. I wonder.
I don't think
the greatest audio in the history of the station.
I'm telling you, for me, I literally was laughing. I was by myself, tearing up yesterday when I heard this. When he said this, it's so good. All right, let's turn our attention to the Knicks and the Nets. I said it earlier. I stand by it. I want to feel if the Knicks fan has this same opinion about last night. You lost the game. You're never happy with a loss. As a Knicks fan, at 800-919-3776, Chris, you have to feel pretty good this morning about being a fan of this team. Down 18, game over, not going to compete, and you went all the way down to the wire with probably the best team in the NBA right now.
Yeah, that's the team that's probably going to win the NBA Finals if they stay healthy, Dave. That's a team that's going to be hoisting a banner into the rafters at the end of the year if they have KD back in time. So, I mean, the fact that this team was able to compete the way that they did last night, the Knicks were able to go toe-to-toe with them and to claw back from being down 18 in the second half, like that to me is just, it's impressive. It shows you the fortitude of this team, the mentality of this team, and Tibbs and what he's done in terms of putting a culture with the Knicks. I just think that there's a lot to love in terms of the direction that this team is headed in. They're not there yet. There's clearly some talent deficiencies, especially with depth in the backcourt. But in terms of how they're playing, their commitment to each other, their commitment to playing defense every single night, you got to love it.
I'm telling you, get the t-shirts ready. New York Knicks, all grit, no quit. But they didn't quit. I mean, down 18, and they had every opportunity late in that game. They locked down the defense in the fourth quarter.
Yep. Against the best offensive team in the world right now.
Exactly right. I mean, you saw how devastating they can be and how quickly they can score. They only scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. Bullock had a three when they were down five, missed it. Burks had a three, down five, missed it.
So
Burks
many
had another
chances.
Three on a second chance off a quickly miss. And then you had, I think we'd all agree, you would have liked to have seen Julius Randle at least be able to take the shot, at least give him the opportunity to take the shot to either tie the game or miss it or whatever it ends up being. They call for the travel. And anyone that wants to criticize Julius Randle for being that emotional can go kick rocks. I actually loved every second of it.
I agree with you. I mean, you know what? It pained him, and he thought that there was a bad call, and there was a bad call at the end of the game, and it pained him to the point that he was emotional. Good for him. Would you rather him just walk off the court and plan what they're going to have for dinner? I'm glad that was the reaction.
No, like
that
a hug in and high five? No, I loved
no.
it. I mean, he left everything. That was one of those games, and you could tell later on, late in that game, he was going to do whatever it took to try to get his team this win. He left everything he had on that floor. And for it to be taken away it's a questionable call. I mean, in real time, maybe I can see what the ref, why Scott Foster called it a travel. But when you watch the replay, the ball clearly moved. He did a good job of keeping it in his hands. But that should...
Under the circumstances, just let him play, ref.
Exactly.
Just let him play. I just feel like don't take the opportunity away from the players to determine the outcome of the game. And I felt like that's exactly what happened in that moment. But, that aside, I still feel like the Knicks had plenty of opportunities, and Rico, you outlined them. For me, I go back to that one inbounds play where IQ gets the ball. Pick-and-roll situation with Julius Randle. He's got to be able to make something happen with Jeff Green on him. But, those are some of the growing pains that you're going to go through with a young player at the point guard position, especially a guy getting his first start going up against Kyrie Irving and James Harden. But I thought he held his own. I thought he played...
He played well
under the circumstances.
He did play well. Let's go to Jake in Queens. Jake, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. It's actually Jay in Queens, but that's fine. As a Knicks fan, I'm happy. Not happy that they lost, but happy that you can watch them again. You know, usually they get down by 18 in the last couple of years, and they end up losing by 30. But they definitely had opportunity shots that they didn't make. But the effort was there, and I don't remember the last time I've seen a team get two jump balls at the end of a game like that without fouling. I just thought, it's a sign of things to come, and then the effort and the passion was there. And as a Knicks fan, that's what we want, because as fans, we're passionate, and I think we want the players to be the same way.
That's right.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, absolutely, and thanks for the call. They are trending in the right direction, and that's all for this season and this weird season, to be sitting here at 500 and trending in the right direction is all you can ask for.
Well, they're 500. Right, which no one expected at this point. They already got 20. They're already at their 20th win. I think they got their 20th win in game 64 last season. So, and on top of that, they're the best. Statistically, they're the best defensive team in the NBA.
Yeah,
they have
an
identity.
Last night, crunch time against the best offensive team in the NBA. They were really good. Diego in Queens, you're next up on 98.7. Diego.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, me and my girlfriend listen to you guys all the time because now she's obsessed with you guys as much as I am. So we call you guys the greatest show on turf. You know that?
I like
that. You guys are like the 2001
Rams. We appreciate it.
You guys are like the 2001 Rams.
Is Dave Diego? Is Dave the quarterback? Is Dave Kurt Warner?
Dave is Kurt Warner, but I think Rick, you're like Marshall Faulk, and Chris, you could pick Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, whoever you want to be.
Ooh, that's
either one of those guys.
Speed on the
other
side.
Nice. I went from bagging groceries to where we are now. That's right. Apple, hammer, saw, maybe pear, maybe not. I'm not sure.
By the way, Rick, there was nothing wrong with your Wednesday opening. I think these guys are just... They're just hating.
No,
okay.
It's really good, actually, Diego. We're going to submit it to Mark
today.
And see if we can make some noise.
Can you imagine that, though? Could you imagine that of all the things that we've done, that's we submit? That's what we would submit for the Marconi, is that?
I think it was wonderful.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We've teased it all morning long. It's the audio of Peter Rosenberg on the K Show yesterday. Rick, are you ready for this, sensational audio?
I can't wait.
Chris, I listened to this during the break with RJ, and we were both almost in tears while we were listening to this.
Dave, I'm going to say this. You're putting a lot on this, so this better pay off. This better be really, really good.
If it doesn't, I'll own it, but I can't imagine that you guys do not find this high level of comedy. So, RJ, what's the appropriate way to set it up? I guess it's ENN yesterday, right? And they are talking about the tournament and how Seth Greenberg gave a little analysis. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a cut from an audio soundbite of Seth Greenberg.
All right, let's take a listen. Appreciate how good this is. Here is Peter with Seth Greenberg and the soundbite.
Guys, let's talk tourney for a second. Let's hear from Seth Greenberg, who, according to what it says here, I guess he did a live appearance at the B&H store. that's Barton Hahn. That's Barton Hahn. Here's Seth Greenberg on how tough this tournament's going to be.
There's no way he was serious, right?
He was totally serious.
There's no way he was serious.
Oh, he was 100% serious. He thought, now we label things on the screen and it says B&H for Barton Hahn. And I'm listening and I'm thinking to myself, Seth Greenberg was live at the B&H store? Like, how is this in a pandemic world? How in the world is this possibly happening? He had no idea. He was absolutely serious.
Oh, I want to try to give Rosenberg more credit than that, Dave. But it's hard to. It's hard
live.
To.
I love it. I guess he did a live appearance at the B&H store. Could you imagine that? He's standing there. Seth, where can I get a 46-inch high-def TV over there, aisle 3? And also, what do you think about Virginia Tech in the tournament this week? Play it again. RJ, play it again.
Guys, let's talk tourney for a second. Let's hear from Seth Greenberg, who, according to what it says here, I guess he did a live appearance at the B&H store. That's Barton Hahn. That's Barton Hahn. Here's Seth Greenberg on how tough this tournament's going to be.
Wow.
A live appearance at the B&H store.
But you can hear him try to convince himself, like, this is what happened. That's why it says B&H, because he was at the B&H store doing an appearance.
Oh, my God. Doing an appearance. Like, we haven't left our house in a year. How do you think Seth is on location doing an appearance in downtown New York City?
I got to be honest with you, though, hearing it the second time, I think he was joking.
No.
I think he was joking.
There's no way. There's no way.
Hey, Kip, how could he possibly think, reading that clip? I love how he's like just reading what's in front of me. I clearly had not looked at it yet. That it was he would be doing an appearance at a B&H store.
Yeah, it just makes, it's too far of a leap, right, Rico? Like it just doesn't make any sense.
It makes zero sense. Why would
that's why it's
be
so
doing
wonderful
an appearance at a B&H store?
Come on, you're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. You think he was prepared that he knew what that soundbite was from? He thought he was at a B&H store.
Special promotion.
Special promotion. That's right. You get your vaccine in one arm, and the other arm, you get a little dose of college basketball from the great Seth Greenberg.
This relationship that you have with the K-Show, Dave, it's not getting any better.
No.
You're throwing gas on this thing. You should be throwing water on it.
Come on. How good is that? You guys don't find that to be a wonderful soundbite?
No, it's great, Dave.
It's terrific,
but he's
great.
The only ally on that show is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Well, he took shots at my university yesterday.
Yeah, but I mean that's the first time in a long time. That's kind of I can understand where he's coming from in that.
It's not like I sit here and beat up on Rosenberg all the time. He said that Seth Greenberg was making a live appearance at the B&H store in New York City. You think I should have let that go without bringing it up?
No, we're not saying let it go, but it's just I don't know. You teased it for 2 hours.
It's so good.
And now you're just hanging on the rim with it. I'm just saying this is not going to improve your standing with the K-Show guys.
All right. Well, I want to get to the calls. Can RJ, just one more time, the soundbite?
Guys, let's talk tourney for a second. Let's hear from Seth Greenberg, who, according to what it says here, I guess he did a live appearance at the B&H store. That's Barton Hahn. That's Barton Hahn. Here's Seth Greenberg on how tough this tournament's going to be.
Yeah, I think he was joking, though, Dave.
No, I don't think so.
I think he was joking. I don't think he was serious.
You give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think so. I think he had absolutely no idea.
I don't want him to be joking. For me enjoying that clip, I'm going to pretend like he wasn't joking. He was
dead
serious.
He did a live appearance at a B&H store. I'm gonna ride with that until I die.
Would you put it past sales to have us doing that right now? Doing Seth Greenberg, sending poor Seth Greenberg into work.
Well, how much will I get for the live appearance at the B&H store?
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna put you. We're gonna put you in a
B&H. Put you in a bubble.
We're gonna have you give tourney updates.
What do you know about HDMI cable, Seth? Can we put you into a B&H store? DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Oh, so good. All right, let's get to some of these calls. Jimmy in Pompton Lake. Jimmy, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on? That's hilarious. What you just played, by the way.
That's right. High levels of comedy, Jimmy. High levels.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. I haven't called in a while. I want to enlighten me, guys, with the Giants here. So no free agency, didn't technically start. But Devontae Booker, like, can you please explain to me why the Giants, you know, get these guys? Like, what do we get, like four guys, Dave, that were good out of the last 22 free agent signings?
They did well last offseason. I think a lot of their decisions have been questionable. I think the fact that they have no money under the cap is really an amazing job by Dave Gettleman, and I think you have to have a lot of reason for concern right now. Let's see how it plays out, though, but I think there has to be a lot of reason for concern.
Well, here's the thing I don't understand. I mean, there's clearly – we talked about this the last – I mean, probably – I mean, too much at this point. I mean, all the different things that the Giants could use. I mean, they could use edge pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
They could use a corner. They could use a number one wide receiver. So, like, knowing that you already have limited finances, why not put yourself in the best possible spot to capitalize early on? Like, I mean, the guys that you want are going to be gone. It just opened. Well, the best guys always, when free agency just opens, is
yeah,
that's when those guys
gone.
Go off the board. So why not have all that stuff taken care of already? Like, why not already have Leonard Williams' deal done? Like, why all the things that you were going to do or you're waiting to do, why not have all that stuff taken care of now so you know exactly how much money you're able to spend in free agency?
I agree with you, Rico. I think they should have it all done. But if they rework Leonard Williams' contract and they end up signing Kenny Golladay, every Giants fan is going to feel like they had a hell of a free agency. That's what it's going to come down to. Like, are they going to be able to get the two top guys that Giants fans feel like they should prioritize, keeping Leonard Williams and signing a true number one wide receiver, and they're still in play for both of them. So from that standpoint, well, I'm just willing to give Gettleman a break and see where he goes with it. But as far as what he did yesterday, I'm kind of meh about it. You know what I mean? You had to address backup running back. You needed somebody that was reliable behind Saquon. You did that, and you kept some of the depth that you have on the defensive front.
Yeah, listen, here's what I'm willing to do. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for now. If you miss out on Golladay and you underwhelm us in free agency, I think you have to take him to task. That's my thought on it. Let's go to Lonnie in Harlem. Lonnie, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, family. How are we?
What's up, Lonnie? How are you, man?
All right. First off, I want to send my heartfelt condolences to Keyshawn and his family. It was very sad to hear that news this morning. The snippet with Peter just now was hilarious. And Uncle Rico, his comments like I got Morehead State making a run, and the one you said today about the pulling out is exactly why you're Uncle Rico. But now, Brother CeCe, I believe I got an answer for you about Dave Gettleman. You ready for that?
I'm ready.
All right. He feels like he's the smartest person in the room because, unfortunately, we're in COVID, so technically he is the only person in the room. That's exactly why he probably feels that way. But to me, CeCe, I believe Dave Gettleman is a black Air Force wearer, especially after signing Booker for all that money.
Oh, so you can't trust him?
There you go, Canty. Black Air Force is laced up tightly, too.
Yeah, you definitely can't trust him then. Yeah, definitely can't trust him. That's all trouble right there. But, I mean, Dave Gettleman has felt like he's the smartest person in the room since he took the job with the New York Giants. And since that, he's only had double-digit loss season after double-digit loss season after double-digit loss season. So at some point, we have to have some return on the investments that he's been making in trying to build out this team. And this is the year that it has to happen because this is the year we need to know whether or not we've got a true franchise quarterback in Daniel Jones. This is third
questions.
Season. You got to find out an answer to that question. We'll see what happens. But everything that they do this offseason should be geared towards supporting Daniel Jones properly so you can see whether or not he's your guy moving forward.
That was a dynamic duo, though, of condescension, was when him and Pat Shermer together.
Ugh.
Oh.
It's one thing when Belichick does it, right? Belichick does it, you're like, well, listen, the guy has won a million Super Bowls. He's the greatest, you know, defensive mind in the history of football, and he is at this elite level. So you never liked it, but you understood it and you could accept it. When guys that have done nothing And let's be fair. Gettleman has done nothing with the Giants. Pat Shurmur did nothing with the Giants. When they're out there talking trash like that, it's very difficult to listen to.
You can win while you're building.
Yeah, because he's the smartest guy in the room. But here's the thing, though, too. What drives me crazy about Gettleman is like he's – it feels like he's so stuck in his ways that he's unwilling to adapt to where the NFL
is now.
That's
exactly what it is, no?
Well, yeah, but I get to hear sound clips of him talking about, you know, computer folk and an analytics guy. Like, but those teams – I mean, you know how much money teams spend on those kind of like, – on analytics departments?
Tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, people to manipulate the cap. Look what all these teams are doing. Look what the Saints just did with Taysom Hill.
That's right.
A Fakakta four-year, $140 million extension that's all voidable.
But he likes that Booker took 2 years at $6 million, evenly split, 3-3, and that's the way the Giants do business now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Mike Tenenbaum took a real hit for me today. A tremendous hit. He goes down from like an A+ to a B+ from what he did today.
Yeah, I can't defend this. I'd like to, but I can't. No, I can't do this.
So he has chosen to do a taping for Get Up instead of our show live here this morning.
Here's what I don't understand, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got my number. He's got RJ's number. I mean, we had the whole 7 o'clock hour was his.
That's right. I mean, we could have had him on at 7:15.
I mean, we could have at 7 o'clock.
We could have had him on at 7 o'clock.
Whatever he wanted. That's how close he is to us in the show. I mean, this hurts.
And we built the 7 o'clock hour around Mike Tenenbaum. And now last minute for RJ to call him and be like, oh, I have till 7:38. I can't come on with you guys now? I don't know. It's a flatulent move, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get up from this one.
I don't know. I think you guys are being a little tough on Tenenbaum on this.
They had 35 runs, 31, excuse me, 35 anyway, runs, 33 passes.
I didn't want to say it, and now I have to.
Well, you know what that is? This is like a shard is what it is. This is exactly what that is. You can't get up from that.
No. Terrible job.
You think in the moment it's a good idea.
Well, you know
just
what
get
he's
going
to do. He's going to sweet talk you next week, and he'll probably send you like some X2 energy drink, and all of a sudden he'll be back in your good graces. You don't hold the grudge the way you need to hold the grudge.
I feel like I have to. If I don't teach him his lesson now, this could happen again.
Could.
That's the fear.
Tremendous lack of respect.
This is when we need him. I mean, this is the day. This is the day. This is the day. I mean, you guys, we got a lot to break down with the Devontae Booker signing. Huge
now,
signing
here's
the
thing. We could break that down. The money, the whole thing, you know, even money is a big deal in the NFL now. Here's the thing. He said he'd like to come on with us tomorrow. Do we make a statement and say, no, we don't want you this week, or do we accept him tomorrow as a guest?
No, we accept his invitation, and we have him come on the show.
Here's what I think we do then. I think we put him in the 6 o'clock hour. You know what? I want you on in the 6 o'clock hour, reparations for blowing us off today.
I see what Canty's doing, though. The fear is that if Canty takes this too far, then all of a sudden Mike T pulls the plug on the Sunday show.
He's a nice man.
Hey, got to keep Mike Tenenbaum happy, man. He's our front office insider. He's our GM. We got to have him on the show, man. He's our guy.
Yeah, I think we keep him, Dave. We make it uncomfortable, but I think we have to keep him.
All right, as long as you're on board that you're not going to give him a pass for this tomorrow.
No, how could I give him a pass? Have some respect for me.
Okay.
If it was Michael K, and I couldn't.
Well, you know, Michael, that is there fun. Anything, Michael, like what would you do? Like if you walked into your home and Michael was just prancing around in his underwear, like would you be like, Michael, what's happening here? Would you say, okay. Oh, no, it's Michael. You have beautiful legs.
No, I'd be like, why wasn't I invited to this party?
Wasn't I invited to the underwear party?
Now, if
strap
it was Michael,
on. Strap it in.
Now, if it was Michael tramps around in his undies with Cassie tramps around.
I don't
around
think there was
undies.
Naked in there.
That I may have to draw the line at that point.
You may. You're not sure, but you may.
I mean, I think that would be the line. Yeah, that would
if
be the
there
line.
Were anyone that you would walk in on, and
no,
it
there's
would
nobody.
Be...
There's nobody. Not one person.
You would feel none. Best about Michael.
None.
Yeah, you lost.
Zero. Your underwear. You're naked.
Zero. Not one. I don't care who. You could name any person in the whole world. There is not one person. Does it bother you that Dave actually watches your games naked? I take that back. Maybe if it was Angelina Jolie, we could have a conversation.
You'd get very involved in that conversation. Let's go to Earl in Brooklyn. Good
highly
morning, Earl. You're next up on
98.7.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Canty, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
Rosario's up in the Bronx for your cigars.
All right. That's
and
what's up.
My heart goes out to Keyshawn and his family. Guys, I got a question, and I'd like your comments on this. Like you guys know, I referee college basketball. Well, how do we allow – is this a redemption – thing for Rick Pitino over there at Iona, where he has, for the last 35 years, there's always been scandals about this guy, and he's continued to get a job with the NCAA. And
he wins, Earl.
Come on. You worked in college basketball. Look no further than the fact that this guy just took Iona to the NCAA tournament.
Okay, so what does that mean? He was at a university where they took a national championship, and all he says is that, oh, I didn't know that. You had strippers come to young kids' rooms. Come on, it has to be some kind of.
Well, there was. I don't mean to defend Rick Pitino, but there was. He was removed from his job at Louisville. He was basically banished from any American basketball. He was coaching overseas, and eventually you get redemption, right? Eventually.
Well, because eventually all these schools want to do one thing, and that's win.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kay actually suggested Pitino for Fordham. Because he's sick and tired of, I mean, Selection Sundays in his school is never in the conversation.
I don't blame him. I mean, Fordham has been irrelevant for like three decades now in college basketball.
And what did he say, 29 years yesterday he was saying?
And he's right with his comparison. St. Bonaventure, in the middle of God knows where New York upstate, goes to the tournament like every other year and has made runs in the past. And Fordham can't do a thing, and they're, you know, the outskirts of New York City, up in the Bronx? I mean, they're right there.
Yeah, but Earl knows the answer to the question. He asked the question, he knows the answer to the question.
That's right. But it's the same thing. It's why do guys get second chances? Because they're good. Players, coaches, whoever.
You name it. I mean, if you're good at your job, you're going to get, I mean, there'll be someone that gives you an opportunity. And Pitino, I mean, he did exactly what Iona brought him in to do, which was take them to the tournament.
Let's take a listen. He was on the K show yesterday. Here is Rick Pitino. Would you consider leaving for a bigger program now?
The last game I'll coach will be at Iona College. It won't be any place. Wouldn't even consider moving at any point. Anytime people show you the loyalty and the respect that they have shown me to fly over to Madrid, Spain, not only the athletic director, but the president, they're the people I want to be involved with. They're the school I want to represent. They're the players I want to coach. And nothing, you know what a big Knicks fan I am. Nothing, even the Knicks could make me even think about coaching elsewhere. So I'm very lucky to end my career at a small private little school that has big ambitions. It's a ball, a boy, and a dream. And that's what they're all about for our basketball program, and I'm excited to represent them.
He's a great basketball coach. I hear that soundbite, and I think to myself, I don't believe a word that he says. If a huge school came offering a job for him, I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, that he would take it.
Unless that was part of the agreement when they flew over and they made the decision to offer him the job, that was part of them agreeing to hire him as their coach, that this would be it for him. That was the promise that was made.
Yeah, but even if he made that promise, do you think it's outlandish to think that if a big school came calling that he would say, no, I don't want any interest in you?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know. I can't say 100% one way or the other.
Yeah.
Unless it's centrally located to the park.
He does.
He's got to stay close to Central Park. Yeah.
Just pop up and go for runs with people.
That's right. Maybe he'll take the job at one of the CUNY schools. Mike Tenenbaum sent us a text.
I can't believe that. Time out. I can't believe that Clyde has the exact same story about Pitino.
But did you think I was not telling you the truth? I never lie to you.
I know you weren't lying to me, but what are the chances that someone else has that exact same story about the exact same guy?
Weird. Rick Pitino obviously loves to run the reservoir in Central Park.
Yeah, he's like the butler in Mr. Deeds.
He's always there. You just turn around and he's there. Mike Tenenbaum. Okay, boys.
Very sneaky.
I get rebuttal time tomorrow. It's on. I'll see you bright early tomorrow morning. I don't know what rebuttal he could possibly have. He chose another show over our show.
No, and we'll watch it. You know, I'll watch Get Up and see what he taped, if it was worth it. I can't imagine it was worth it. This is New York Drive Time Radio, baby. Come on now.
It can't be worth it.
Some respect.
For a taped segment?
See, now he's going to unleash the beast now by the rebuttal. Now I'm going to have to get all X2'd up before this interview tomorrow. Might snort some egg. I might get crazy with this tomorrow now.
It's a liquid.
No, I have the powder too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I got the X2 powder too. You mix it right in with
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to
Kawhi
Jimmy
on the box.
Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good morning, Jimmy.
I wanted to say that I think you guys, it's coming out of the calls, are right. You're giving Rick Pitino a little too much credit because Iona, this is their fifth straight year making the tournament. So what exactly is Rick Pitino going to do that's so much better than any coach has done for them?
Well, they also were coached by Clueless, who was wonderful, did a great job, and they were not expected to be that good. And they also dealt with the entire COVID thing. And Rick Pitino had actually said, and I've heard him discuss this, that he thought this was going to be kind of a rebuilding year, and next year with the recruiting class was going to be their season.
That's fair, but I think to give Rick Pitino all the credit he's getting, he's got to do something more than the last coach has done, which he hasn't yet.
I don't think anyone's sitting here giving Rick Pitino all the credit. I mean, that wasn't the question that Earl asked. It's how does Rick Pitino keep getting jobs?
He's a great coach.
Wherever Rick Pitino goes, they win. I mean, that's why he gets more jobs.
No one has ever doubted that. He's a great coach.
And with everything, I mean, you mentioned it, Dave, too. I mean, this in his mind was supposed to be a down year until obviously this next recruiting class came in. On top of the fact that, I mean, not all these schools have dealt well with COVID. They haven't. Some big-time programs have struggled with COVID.
A lot of them.
This season.
Absolutely, a lot of them. Let's go to Anthony in the Bronx. Anthony, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys, big fan. Thanks for helping me get through the morning. I'm an Iona alum, and I was – me and I could speak for a lot of other ones of us. We were so excited about having Pitino come to the school. There's a big rumor going around that maybe if things keep going well for us, we're going to get out of the MAC and maybe move up to a bigger conference. I don't know if that's true or not. We'll see. But these schools that play the holier than thou route that don't want to take on a Rick Pitino like a Fordham. I mean, that's why they're constantly losing. I don't think Fordham's been in the tournament in almost maybe 30 years, maybe more. And a school like us, we're going to get there because we're going to take on a guy who might have a little bit of baggage, but he's going to bring kids into the school, and he's going to put butts into the seats. So I think it's a great thing.
So there you go. I mean, ultimately, thanks for the call, Anthony. Ultimately, I think people care up to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But if you asked an alum of one of these schools or a fan, and you could be a fan by not being an alum at one of these schools, if you asked somebody of that ilk, would you rather lose and have a great guy as a head coach or win and have a guy that has some baggage? I think most people would say, I want to win. I want to go to the tournament.
Yeah, most people would say that, Dave. Most alums would say that right up until that coach embarrasses the school. And what Rick Pitino did at Louisville was embarrassing. Like, I mean, that program is still trying to pick itself up off of the mat after what he did. So, I mean, I just think that's the thing that you have to keep in mind moving forward when you're going to hire somebody that does come along with these bags. You want to make sure that they're not going to have any kind of repeat of what got them on the outs in the first place. And so I think that's the fine line that these presidents and these athletic directors have to walk when you're taking on somebody with the profile of a Rick Pitino. But, I mean, fact is, when he's on the bench coaching your team, you know, you're going to have a pretty good squad. So I just – again, it's a fine line, but you know we also have to understand you got to keep him from embarrassed. You know, you don't want him to embarrass the program.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things too. I mean, you go into this situation when you hire Rick Pitino with your eyes wide open. Does that mean that potential does exist? That he could end up embarrassing the school.
Yeah, but listen, he loves coaching. I think one more mark against him and he'll never coach again. So he's got to be on his absolute best behavior and dot all the I's and cross all the T's here at Iona.
No, listen, I don't disagree with you. But again, I mean, you start talking about, I mean, that slippery slope, you're trying to tiptoe that fine line, trying to get recruits and everything else. I mean, if you've done it once.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, maybe
and
back
chances are
habits.
He's probably done it more than once, Rico.
Yeah. It probably was a pattern. I'm sure it was. All right. Let's turn our attention back to the NFL. So Jordan Renan, terrific Giants insider for us here at ESPN, just put out the Giants scorecard so far for free agency. You ready? They franchised Leonard Williams. They signed Devontae Booker 2 years, $6 million, and re-signed Austin Johnson 1 year, $3 million, and also brought back C.J. Board. Signed elsewhere, Dalvin Tomlinson, terrific young player, Kevin Zeitler, best offensive lineman. Gone. It's hard right now. And again, things can change, Chris. It's hard right now to have a good feel for the Giants front office and Dave Gettleman.
Yeah, it's hard to have a good feeling, Dave, just because the results haven't been there. But we'll see what happens. I mean, today is a huge day because free agency starts tomorrow. You'd like to get that Leonard Williams deal locked up so you can move on to other business. And you're talking about them trying to sign Kenny Golladay, and it's between Big Blue and the Miami Dolphins. Like, you want to be able to put your best foot forward, but in order to do that, you got to take care of the Leonard Williams contract. I mean, that franchise tag right now, $19 million, is killing you. So, I mean, you got to put that to bed, get him signed, so you can present the best offer that you possibly can for Kenny Golladay, because your quarterback needs that guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, again, Devontae Booker, giving him $6 million, that doesn't make a whole ton of sense. But I just don't know why you wouldn't have all this stuff taken care of to have a better idea of exactly what you can spend.
My question is, why? I mean, you traded real pieces for Leonard Williams. Like, you heavily invested in acquiring this guy. Why did you not get that deal done then? Why was this, let's see how good he can be, and when he's basically a free agent and he plays really well, now you franchise him, now he's sensational, now you're going to pay through the nose for a guy that had it at a fraction of the money a couple of years back.
But you're already over the bucket. I mean, you traded draft picks to get him, and then, I mean, he had half a sack, and you gave him $16 million for half a sack.
Yeah,
now go. But he reaches his potential now, and of course you could. What aggravates me,
now you got to pay.
But you're going to pay him anyway. Like you say, to pay him.
If you would have signed him last offseason, coming off half a sack, you would have not paid what you're going to pay for him right now. He has all the leverage in this thing.
No, I don't disagree with you. But at that point, I mean, how were they sold on him being what he turned into last season?
But I think you're answering your own question, Rico, because they traded two mid-round draft picks for him, and he had a half a sack, and they franchised him. So that tells you that there was enough there where they believed in Leonard Williams and they wanted him to have this kind of breakout campaign that he had this past year. And now you're going to have to pay top-of-the-market prices for him, whereas if you went ahead and signed him as soon as you traded for him, you would have got him pennies on the dollar compared to what you're going to have to pay him to keep him.
No, I don't disagree with you. You guys are right. I mean, that's when the deal should have been done.
Yeah.
Knowing that, I mean, for you to trade for him, you obviously felt good about him.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have got the deal done. I'm just saying now that you've already made the mistake. Get the deal done.
Yes.
Both sides want to do it.
Yes. Yes,
so,
I agree
so you
with
know
you.
Exactly how much money you have. Like, manipulate your cap. All the deals that you want to rework to create cap space, that should have been done headed into yesterday so you knew what you could spend.
But he doesn't want to. I mean, he made that perfectly clear last week. That's not the way he likes to do business. My question is no one else in the Giants front office saying, well, this is the way that you do it now in the NFL?
Oh, that's what all the teams are doing. I don't understand why the Giants are hesitant to do it. This is an important year.
This is the most important year the Giants have had in seasons. This has to define whether or not this quarterback is going to be the answer moving forward or not.
Yeah, I mean, in their positions of need, I mean, the guy's available for what they need. I mean, there were some, I mean, edge pass rush being at the top of one, I mean, at the mm-hmm. top of their list. I mean, all the big names, by the time you get around to it, those big names are going to be gone. As you're waiting on Kenny Golladay, whether or not he's going to take your money, I mean, those guys are coming off the board now.
They're all going to be gone. Guests on DCR PRV, the Goodyear Hotline. So Mike Tenenbaum blew us off, but we may have a replacement. He'd like to take the spot. He is Ira in Staten Island. Ira, sell yourself. Why should we give you Mike Tenenbaum's spot here on 98.7?
Because I'm there like clockwork, man. Yeah. I mean, he bailed on you guys. I mean, if you were in a – now, I love Mike T. But, man, you want to be in a foxhole now after he just – what he did to you today? You can't. You can't just go blow you off and go to do another thing. That,
Ira, especially foxhole with his gas issue.
Yeah, it can be amazing. We might run out. We might run out into battle.
That's touch and go.
They had 35 runs, 31, 35 runs, 33 passes.
So, Ira, you might be the nicest guy that we have that calls the station. You are completely on our side and turned off by Mike T right now, aren't you?
100%. I love you guys. And listen, you got to feed the mouths that support you. And I support you and you support me. And listen, if he turns you down again, I'll be more than happy to fill that spot.
7:30 next Tuesday morning, Ira. What do you have going on?
I'll finish my swim early to get on the show with you.
Thank you. I mean, this is what we're looking for. A commitment to excellence from Ira in Staten Island. The same thing cannot be said for Mike Tenenbaum. It can't be said.
No, we'd have to work on some of the issues with Ira, though. Like, if he's gonna fill that slot, he can't be, you know, honeymooning on different shows. He can't be off gallivanting calling all these other shows.
Well, Mike Tenenbaum calls other shows. He does a lot of other stuff at the station.
No, but that's because he's contractually obligated to do other things. He can't just say, "This is I'm only doing this one show."
So if Ira were to be a weekly guest on our show, you would tell him you're not allowed on any other show on the station.
Yes. Well, that's why you're tuning in.
You think sales would get the sponsor, don't you?
No. Come on, you know better than that.
Yeah, that was a dumb question. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll hand it over to KJZ in just a couple of moments. They're going to do a lot of NFL conversation, of course.
They could actually get Seth and Ira over at P&H.
They could have a duo over there.
Yeah, you could get college basketball and some NFL free agency.
That's right. Nice. I did get a great tweet from someone. It said, was Rick Pitino, hang on, let me find this tweet. Was Rick Pitino on remote at K Jewelers when he spoke to Michael yesterday? Oh, it's so good. All right, we'll get you ready for KJZ as we approach the 8 o'clock hour. But guys, we go back to where we started the show, and that is the Knicks. And oftentimes, I'm frustrated by a lot of things with this team. But even a loss last night, and Chris, we've said this the entire show, I feel pretty good about what they were last night. And I don't take a lot of silver linings with losses, but I feel pretty good about where they were last night.
Well, I mean, they were playing one of the hottest teams in basketball. The Nets came in, they won 12 of their last 13. So, I mean, the Knicks know they were going up against a supremely talented team, and yet they didn't back down. Even when they fell into a big hole in that third quarter, they were down by as many as 18. And they found a way to claw and scratch and get back into that game, Dave. And so to see that kind of grit on display, to see the kind of effort that they gave and the attitude that they played with, I think a lot of Knicks fans have to feel good about the direction that this team is headed in.
The Knicks clearly care, right? I mean, we
isn't that half the battle, though? Especially in the NBA?
Dave, I mean, we talked about this so many different times. A game like this, playing one of the best teams in the NBA, it usually was at Madison Square Garden where they wanted to come in, show out, embarrass you. You get down, I mean, they were down 18 last night. This is the last couple of years. They get down 18, turns into 30, and I got to look over to the sidelines. And, you know, all the other team starters are sitting on the bench midway through the third quarter, and they're playing flip bottle and everything else, having a grand old time because the game's already over.
That's right. None of that. It feels like it's a different regime, because it is, and it feels it. All right, Santi, it's Tuesday, which means we do a little three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Number three is going to go to, I didn't realize the house phones were still a thing, so shout out to Rick DiPietro for pointing out that, A, that the house phone was in the pocket, and then making references to Zach Morris. When I go home later today, I'm going to go watch some Saved by the Bell just because of that. So I thank you for that, Rick.
My man.
It was very,
number
very
two.
Well, beautiful.
I'm sorry, Dave. Finish that thought.
I said it was beautifully well done. The fact that you reached into your pocket and you brought the house phone is really been underrated on the show today.
Star number two is actually going to be Cuddle Marry Trash. And Dave, your propensity to root for Georgetown, and I appreciate you sticking to your guns. What I don't appreciate is you getting all over RJ and not even letting him ask the question of what was being cuddled, what was being married, what was being trashed, because you were so sensitive on the subject. Listen, I appreciate that you root for Georgetown, and I think you should root for Georgetown, and I'm glad that you do. But, you know, let RJ ask his question as it should be, no?
I guess so. I apologize. I got thrown off by the fact that they were attacking me for my love of Georgetown. And by the way, Gunling agrees with me. RJ agrees with me. You agree with me. I think Chris and Rick agree with me. It's Don and Michael on their Love Fest Island.
And that brings us to
number one.
This thing with the K show. I mean, what else needs to be said? Peter Rosenberg, take it away.
There. Guys, let's talk Torny for a second. Let's hear from Seth Greenberg, who, according to what it says here, I guess he did a live appearance at the B&H store. That's Barton Hahn. It's Barton Hahn. Here's Seth Greenberg on how tough this tournament's going to be.
I don't know what's worse, the B&H thing or the fact that he puts emphasis on tourney. It just sounds weird.
You can hear Gunling in his ear being like, no, you idiot. It wasn't a B&H store. It's Barton Hahn. Oh, so good. It's Rule 76.
No excuses to play a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday morning. Mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.